I mentioned this morning that the Lord willing tonight, I wanted to talk to you about the seventh seal. And I want to tell you some of the things that that I feel Brother Branham has said about us that we've overlooked or failed to see or obey. First of all, I want to ask you, though, do you have your abstract deed tonight?
Amen.
Now, am I going to have to print something out for you to have with you so you'll know that? Or by faith, can you believe that you have received the Holy Ghost, which is a seal, the earnest, that you have a title deed, and it's abstracted all the way back before the foundation of the world, and it's clean and clear, and there's no claims against it.
Amen.
Folks, now if you think about that, every time you did, you know, I thought this afternoon we sort of got what we call a double whammy with this. First of all, God is so prejudiced toward us and for us that he don't even lay those things to our charge to begin with. It's the devil who is the accuser, and he says, oh, look at that, you made a mistake there, and look, you did this, and you violated it there. But God's the one who said, no, they didn't.
Amen.
They've confessed it, and I forgave them, and I forgot it, and don't you bring it up again.
Amen.
But then that's what he ordained before the foundation of the world. He wrote that sentence and that judgment and that blessing and that reward before you were ever born.
Amen.
And then I think about it, a sinner like me. Paul said the chiefest of sinners. Why can't we just be rejoiced? Johnny's favorite saying is, how many of you happy to be in church? Well, I'm glad we're saved. I'm glad we got this abstract deed.
Yes.
I'm glad we've been delivered.
Yes.
A group of people that knows that to be the truth.
Yes.
I could never earn it.
That's right.
And I think as a result of that, we should know that whether we leave this life from sickness or accident or natural death, or whether we leave it as Enoch did, or as Elijah did, or as we leave it in the rapture, in all of it, he's taken care of it for us. That's the promise that he has given us. And the Old Testament saints enjoyed it, and they didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost the way we do, the promise of it, the indwelling of it. They didn't know the joy of his forgiveness. You know what God gave them for their covenant seal? Circumcision. That's what he sealed the covenant to them with, which was an unconditional covenant to Abraham. It was circumcision.
Amen.
Cut off the foreskin. But with you and I, we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God living in us. That's what our abstract is. Now, I want to read from a couple of portions of scripture tonight. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7, because I'm reminded that Brother Branham said, you can't understand the seals until you understand Daniel. Did you know he said that?
Yes.
Huh? And when I stop sometimes, I say, the things I hear the brothers say about the seals, how do they get it so complicated? So mixed up. This part to that part to this part to that part, that you have to be taught and memorized it in order to understand what it is. When I think Brother Branham started off with God in simplicity.
Yes.
Sure, and it was God in simplicity. And then the first sermon he preached after he left Jeffersonville, he's had that on his heart. So when he got to Albuquerque, he preached it again.
Right.
And he got to Tucson, he preached it again. God in simplicity.
Yes.
Now, and he makes the statement that until you understand Daniel, you can't understand the things in Revelation. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. Here's something I just want to call to your attention. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
Right.
Now, it's like Jesus when he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. You know, he paid the full price.
Right.
I personally have always rejoiced to realize that as he hung on the cross, he was able to look back down through time as he did with the people on the road to Emmaus later and expounded to them all the scriptures that pertain to himself. Well, there's over 700 prophecies that we know in the Old Testament that were prophesied to him. And there he was. He's hanging on the cross, and it talked about the stripes, and it talked about the thorns, and talked about all the things. But there was one that hadn't been fulfilled, and that was that he didn't have the bitter gall. And he says, "I thirst." And that Roman soldier dipped the sponge or whatever it was and gave it to him, and he spat it out. And then he says, "It's finished." No, there was nothing else that anybody had to do or could do. Every prophecy been given about him had been fulfilled.
Amen.
Now, here this angel that Daniel saw back there in his day, he saw some things. He was forbidden to write them. And look at the description, something about an angel standing, his hands raised, and that angel doing these things and swearing by him. And then at the end of it, it says, "These things shall be finished."
Right.
Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 10. And let's look at verses 5 and 6. "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven."
Right.
"And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer."
Right.
Now, you know, it's like this. If you've got a picture here and there's a dove here, and over here there's a dove, you'd have to say, well, those two are similar. You could say they were synonymous. They were alike.
Right.
Now, I want you to know that Brother Branham says that Daniel saw in Daniel 12 is the same thing that John saw.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Right. Both of them saw angels, hands lifted, swearing, what? Finished. Time over.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I ask this question. If Revelations 10 is the fulfillment of the seventh seal the way my brothers teach it, and the way they do that, then I want them to know that everything is over. It's finished. Brother Bram said it's the end of everything.
Amen.
It's finished. Well, what's been happening for 40 years?
Amen. Right. That's true. Amen.
And maybe that's what they believe, that it's finished, and therefore they're expecting nothing, so nothing is happening.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm trying to do is to stir this congregation up. You're the ones I'm responsible for. And I want you to get to the place you expect something to be happening. If in the last days they'll see vision, dreams, they'll have the book of Acts repeated over, they'll raise the dead, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak in tongues, they'll dance in the spirit, their sins will be forgiven, they'll sing and worship. If that won't happen until you start expecting it and you start believing it. There won't be any miracles among you until you start expecting them and believing them to happen. Now, it says in Revelation 10 that the mystery of God should be finished. Now, when Brother Branham preached, "Sirs, Is This the Time?" in December of 62, next to the last sermon he preached before he left there to move here, he took the Scofield Bible, and from that he read 13 mysteries. And he talked about those mysteries being finished.
Right.
Now, that is not what Revelation 10:7 says. Revelation 10:7 says the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath revealed to his servants the prophets. And I can show you where Brother Branham put that in for the ministry of Malachi 4 to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, but also Moses and Elijah to give that truth to the Jews. And when I ask you to take and look at those lists of mysteries that Brother Branham read about that day, and that was original sin, serpent seed, Christian baptism, sovereignty of God, the church ages, justification, Holy Ghost baptism, sanctification, Babylon, mark of the beast, the Antichrist, the millennium, the tribulation, 7 or 3.5 years, the rapture, the coming of the Lord, all those things Brother Branham mentioned. Now, if they're not, if the authority of him to preach that is not in Revelation 10:7, then where did Brother Branham get the authority to preach it?
Right.
If you will go over to Matthew, where he said, truly Elias shall first come and restore all things. The German Bible says, correct all those things that have gone off into error.
Yeah. Right.
But you see, if you misplace that, it says it shall be finished. Well, then everybody said, well, we ought to know everything. Well, that's not what he said.
Right.
Acts 3:21 says that the heavens had to receive Jesus and retain him until the restitution of all things. When are all things going to be corrected? When are they going to be restored? Just before the Lord comes. And Brother Branham, upon the authority of Matthew, or where Jesus said, truly Elias shall first come and restore all things, he had the authority to preach and straighten out all these mysteries.
Amen.
But here's the surprising factor. See, there's some people that they don't know enough about church history or about anybody else except Brother Branham's teachings that they don't know that anybody else preached these things. I can show you Original Sin and Serpent Seed, a book written 150 years ago. Brother Branham never brought the truth of justification to us. Martin Luther did that. Which of these mysteries is it that Brother Branham originated? Let me tell you what Brother Branham's ministry did to me. Him being a prophet of Malachi 4, he could take what everybody said about every bit of it and bring it together and say, this is the truth.
Amen.
And that's what he did.
Yes.
That's what he did with the seals, 1 through 4.
Amen.
I mean, there was people that said it's the Antichrist, others said it's the Lord. But Brother Branham come along, even with the church ages. And he took everything that everybody else had said about it, and you find me something in the church age book, the seal book, and most of it, I think I'm safe in saying this, everything in there I can show you where somebody else said it before him. So this wasn't something that Brother Branham was bringing. This is something that God, in his mercy to us, gave us a messenger that had the word of God that took the whole hodgepodge of it and come along and said, this is the truth. And you know, the thing that blessed us the most was the simplicity of it. Not how complicated it was. You look in the seals, and to me, the greatest thing in there was a drop of ink in a tub of bleach. You say, that's not true. Well, he mentioned it more often than he did anything else.
Right.
Almost every night, a drop of ink in a tub of bleach. And when you think about that, folks, praise God,
amen,
our sins are gone. Isn't that what's important?
Right.
Hattie Wright said, that's nothing but the truth. But you try to run the seals by her. You try to get her to name off the church age messengers. You ask her about predestination of the sovereignty of God or eternal security. Those words may not even be in her vocabulary. Justification, sanctification. But she knew what she had. And she believed what she had.
Yes.
Now, look at us in this message. We've had Elijah. And what has happened with it? Well, out of the truths that Brother Branham brought us, there were some new things that came out. I don't know anybody else in any other age of church history preaching two souls. Or doctrine called these things. Or the thunders. Or parousia. And organizing it around it the way it has in this message. I don't believe that Brother Branham's message, and especially the revelation of the seals, was to bring the confusion that it has brought. Now, I will tell you something that God gave Brother Branham permission to do, but I haven't found anybody else in church history except Moses did it. And it happened right out here, February the 6th, 1965. Brother Branham going up here in Pima Canyon, walked up under a finger rock, and a pillar of fire came down and told him, said, because those people believe you, you go tell them they got their lives messed up to stay as they are, but don't do it again.
Right.
He gave us a writ of divorcement like he did in Moses' day in Matthew 12. I don't know if any, Brother Wilson, I don't know of any other prophet or messenger, anybody else in the Bible, God giving him permission to tell those people to believe you. That their lives is a mess, but I don't hold it against them.
Amen.
Brother Branham knew the truth of marriage and divorce for 20 years or more. What he didn't know was how to tell you to handle it until God come down and visited him and said, go tell them to stay as they are. I forgive them. And the night that the morning Brother Branham preached that, and Billy and I took him from the pulpit, and we were going down the steps there out of the auditorium, I never will forget. Brother Branham turned to Billy Paul, looked at him, and said, "Don't you ever forget the grace of God in your life today,
yes.
Billy."
Amen.
Because Billy was one of those that needed that.
Yes.
And you know, if you realize you've been forgiven,
yes.
don't take advantage of the grace of God, but don't you ever forget how much He loved you, that He did that for you.
Amen.
Now, if the mystery of God was to be finished, I believe it was. And what was that? It's the one thing that I tell you, I've gone and stood at 14 Mile Creek up there at the Ranger's Cabin in Charlestown, looked at those bluffs up there, and I wondered which bend in that river Brother Branham was standing when that voice spoke out of there and said, Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament. That's the mystery of God. Who do men say I am? I, three Sundays ago, who do your books say He is?
Amen.
Who does your preachers tell you He is?
Right.
Jesus Christ of the New Testament, Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
What a revelation that is.
Amen.
Billy Graham even said He's the mighty God.
Amen.
Now, this is the mystery of God. I don't have to apologize for that, because Brother Branham defines it himself at least a dozen times.
Yes, sir.
The mystery of God. And that's what Moses and Elijah is going to give the Jews. Someday the Jewish people are going to get the truth that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Yes,
I went to a chiropractor yesterday for my back. And the man is a Jewish man. And he made the mistake of asking me the countries I've been to, which one I like best. And I told him Israel. And he wanted to know why, and that guy's in it, and I told him about our people living there, and what I said to the rabbi about if the Messiah comes, I'll say it's His first, it's His second. I said, that's God's timepiece. And he said, you know, there is something different where we came from, isn't there?
Right.
I never met the man until 3 or 4 days ago, but he already knows how I feel about it. But someday, God will let two prophets, Moses and Elijah, tell those people in Israel. And I know it'll be in Jerusalem, because that's where they'll lay
after
somebody killed them.
Amen.
Now, let's just take some facts. There may be people, and I read this afternoon, I spent the afternoon reading what other brothers had written about the seven seals. And all the things that they say it is, and as I said, no two of them really agree. Maybe they do, but I haven't heard that much of it. But every one of them, you've got to read between the lines,
yeah.
Or you got to take a statement over here and tie it to this statement here, and you got to leave this one out,
yeah,
in order to make it say what they're trying to make it say.
Right.
And I certainly don't believe that the Lord came in 63. Now, I just take facts, and that way you can eliminate so many things. Brother Branham said there's three comings. One to redeem us. That's when He came and died on the cross and paid the price and was crucified and purchased us. And then He was resurrected and ascended into heaven. That's the first coming. The second one is when He comes to take us away. Brother Branham said He does not come back to this earth, but He catches us away. There's a body change, and we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, that's the second coming. Now, one of these I read today, the brother's got to have five comings. And one of them was 63, and the other one was on the day of Pentecost. I never really had heard that. But the third one that Brother Branham says is when He comes back with His saints.
Yes,
Revelation 19.
Yes,
on a white horse with all the saints on white horses behind him to set up his millennial reign. Now, Brother Branham makes that. That's factual. One, two, three.
Yes.
Now, if you got to have something else in there, then put, well, somewhere or another, you got the cow eating the grass in the wrong place.
Amen.
Now, if you want to say, well, but it sounds like this. Well, how are you going to get around one, two, three? You going to make it one, one and a half, two, two B, two A, three, three and a half? No, it's one, two, three.
That's right. Amen.
See, you can say Jesus came. You can say he's here, and you can say he's coming.
Amen.
He came as Emmanuel and Jesus Christ. He's here in us now, and he's coming back again to be with us here on earth.
Amen.
Now, all the seals that Brother Branham talks about in the book of Revelations, it's the seventh seal is the only one that doesn't have some kind of a symbol. Others have a horse and a man and a rider and this thing and people under the altar and things like this. But the seventh seal, there was no symbol.
Right.
It says there's half hour silence.
Yes.
So silence is its attribute.
Amen.
Now I can show you a number of places where Brother Bam identifies this as Revelation 19. And a very simple reason. He says, heaven is silent because there's nobody there.
Amen.
They're all with him.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I don't know. That's about as sensible as Brother Brown telling people if eating an apple make a woman realize she's naked, let's pass out the apples. That right there tells us that Eve didn't eat an apple, that there was something else.
Yes, sir.
Now, when Brother Branham identifies silence, well, these other things that people want to make the seventh seal, there's no silence involved with it. There's a lot of commotion. And I don't see where it's brought any edification except people are stimulated because they feel like they've got a revelation that somebody else don't have. But Brother Branham says that seventh one was not taught in the scriptures.
Right.
It was omitted. Jesus didn't teach it. Jesus said, no man knows it, only the Father in heaven. The angels didn't know it.
Right.
Brother Branham says, I don't know it. But Brother Branham says, it's the end of all things.
Amen.
And in Daniel 12 there was the end of all things. Now, I want to give you a timeline in this tonight. Brother Branham preached services at the time in December of 62. And that's where he talked about, and I want you to know that if you'll read that, most of it, Brother Branham's asking questions. Could it be? Is this that? I don't know. Could this be that? Now, there is a big difference in is this that? Than what Joel said and what Peter said, this is that. There's a big difference. When Brother Branham said, could this be that? I don't know. Well, they have to say, well, he's just doing that to throw you off. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not the one got thrown off. You are. You're the one that's trying to make it say something he didn't say, and I'm going to show you tonight where he said you're wrong. December of 62, he preached services at the time. And then he moved to Tucson in January of 63. Now, I think he came out here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the first week of January. And he'd put Joseph in school. And either on Tuesday or Wednesday, that second week of January, is when he took Joe to school over at Hollowell School. And he and Sister Branham drove up in Sabino Canyon. And then that Saturday, he went to Phoenix. And that's the first time he told about the sword appearing in his hand. And the reason he told it is because it happened. Now, he preached 15 services in Phoenix or in the Phoenix Valley that next two or three weeks. He preached two in Tucson, and then on March the 4th, he went to Houston, Texas. Then after that, he came home and he preached a couple of sermons around here, but then on March the 17th to the 24th, he went to Jeffersonville, to the Tabernacle, and he started the series off with God in Simplicity, the Breach, then he preached Seals 1 through 6, then he preached Questions and Answers, and then that Sunday night, he preached the seventh seal. But he did not release the original seventh seal tape. He released all the others, but a portion of that one, he held it back. Now, get this timeline again. Brother Branham did this, but in the meantime, on February the 28th, the cloud picture's taken. On March the 4th, Brother Branham is in Houston. Brother Branham drove back from Houston the night of the 4th and the 5th. He gets back here. On the 6th, he and Brother Southman and Brother Norman go hunting over at Sunset Mountain. Brother Branham kills his pig on the 6th. Pig season started on the 5th. The next day, after Brother Branham killed his pig, he told him to go around on the other side of the Rattlesnake Mesa. He went over the top, and when he's up on the top, the seven angels come to him. Now, that's the reason that Brother Green says that the angels appeared in the heavens, and the photograph was taken on February the 28th, but Brother Branham never saw them until March the 7th. 7 days difference. Now, if you read it very carefully, Brother Branham is up on top of the Rattlesnake Mesa, that's the name of it, which you can drive up there now, and these angels came to him from the west. He said they were come from the west and flying east, so that means he faced them this way. And when you count them, it was the one on this side, which he said was the one that was always familiar to him. The seven church age messenger. And what a sensation. It caught him up in the midst of them. What a sensation it must have been. And turned him around. Now, that was always a little confusion to me until I realized that he had been facing west, but he always said he turned him around and told him to go back east. So if he's facing east to start off with and they turned him around, he'd have been facing west. But when I realized that he was facing west, and he turned him and told him to go back to Jeffersonville, and by divine revelation, he would preach the mystery of the seven seals. And that's what he did. He went back there, and from the 17th to the 24th of 1963 in March, he preached what we know as the seven seals. But he did not release the last 20 or 25 minutes of the original seventh seal. He went to a motel the next day, and he cut that part off, and he added some comments onto there.
Amen.
And that was released. Now, the Church Age book, I was involved with it. I was not there when the seals were preached. But in 64, in March, Brother Branham, I gave him the book, 20th Century Prophet, the transcript from Brother Vail, in Louisville, Mississippi. He agreed that he would proofread it, Brother Vail would write it. And by the time we got to Tampa, Florida, he had Brother Vail and I come together again, and he gave us the manuscripts for the Church Age book. Now, J.T. Parnell's wife had typed them out. Brother Branham had taken them in November of 62. He had given them to Anna Jean. Anna Jean had returned them to Brother Branham at Birmingham, Alabama in April of 65. And in Tampa, Florida, Brother Branham gave them back to us and asked Brother Vail if he would do those while he was doing the 20th Century Prophet book. And Brother and Sister Vail came back to our house and stayed with us for almost a year doing the Church Age book. And we were involved with every step of it. But I want you to be aware of this. The seventh seal tape was not available. The books were not in print. Now you just think with me for a moment. If somebody told you the seven seals had been preached, and they gave you the 7-inch reels, and you listened to them, and every one of them was 2.5 or 3 hours long, you'd probably listen to maybe first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, and about that time you'd discover there was a bunch of repeats, repetition, and you'd listen up to the sixth seal, and you'd be so anxious to get to that seventh seal, you skip questions and answers. I venture to say, if people to be honest, they never listened to the questions and answers on the seals. They really never heard God in simplicity or the breach. They were so anxious to get into the seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that they never heard God in simplicity, they never heard the breach, and they never heard the questions and answers. Now, I'm just stating a possibility to you. Now, also when Brother Branham preached the seals, when he preached the sixth seal, he skipped chapter 7, which is the one with all the vials and the plagues and everything in it, and the angels is coming down and pouring all them out. And he goes from the sixth angel, and he talks about that being the 144,000 Jews, and I mean the tribulation of war, and then he goes to the seventh seal. But between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, he does have a question and answer session. But he tells us, now remember, there's a gap in here. There's something happens in here. All these vials and plagues happens underneath the sixth seal. Now, if the seventh seal has been fulfilled as the brothers preach it, then where are all these vials and plagues? Oh, then they're finished. Well, that's what the scripture says. The seventh seal, it finishes everything.
Yeah. Right.
So you see, if they would just stop and think, wait a minute, something, as Brother Branham said, has got to be out of cater.
Yeah. Amen.
Or you wouldn't have this conflict in it. And all the different opinions that I have. And folks, the thing that troubles me the most is that I don't think that it has produced in people what it's supposed to produce. Oh, we'll admit we're living below our privileges. But if the enemy can confuse us in our minds and say, this has happened and this is not going to happen, this has happened, then you're no longer expecting it to happen.
Amen.
It's finished. Well, everything you need to know. And I hear some say, well, we're the bride. We know it all. Yeah, yeah, you know it all. And I hear Brother Branham say, when you think you know it all, then you don't know nothing.
Amen.
And if you hear a preacher get up and preach and he's got all the answers, he's missing something.
Amen.
So tonight I want to play you a couple of excerpts that Brother Branham said about these. It takes about 30 minutes. And remember, there are seven seals. But Brother Branham very plainly says that God only showed him six. He says the seventh one he kept it from me. And he says in there, there's three great things. He says one unfolded yesterday. Now that was March the 23rd. He said the other one unfolded this morning. That's Sunday, March the 24th. But he said, one I could not interpret because it was in an unknown tongue and I couldn't tell what it was.
Right.
Now, I've asked brothers, tell me, when did Brother Branham learn what that was? When did Brother Branham tell us? The answer I get is, well, brother, if you're a bride, if you're not public, if you're an elected seat, you know what it is. Well, excuse me, but Jesus said the angels didn't even know it. Brother Bram said Jesus didn't even know it.
Amen.
Brother Bram said he didn't know it.
Right.
So you're greater than them. You know. And what I want is I want somebody to tell me, if Brother Bram said, I don't know it, when did he know what it was?
Right.
But I can tell you where he gives you caution after caution.
Yes, sir.
Don't take that attitude. But Brother Branham, aren't we bride? Aren't we the church? Aren't we supposed? He said, I'm telling you for your own good. Don't do that. If you think I'm at a minute, will you hear him say it tonight? And I'm telling the brothers for their own good. Go back, listen to what Brother Branham told you not to do. I'm going to tell you, folks, I was right along with them. I wasn't in the message when the seals came, and I thought these brothers all knew this, and man, they came out with it, and he was this, and he was that, and everything else, and I helped print the seal book. And remember now, the seal book didn't come in. Well, first of all, the seventh seal in its original form was not released until April of 1966. So from March of 63 until April of 66, nobody could tell you what Brother Branham said about that seventh seal. And during that time, don't you tell me there wasn't many brothers who formed their opinion and expressed it and came out with their doctrine. Brother Wilson, you're around, you know. A revelation here, an understanding here. Brother, this is it. And the latest one they got, man, that was it. And people got established in those things, in those doctrines, and those tangents, and, those, and it split and divided and separated people. And I'm telling you now, if we're ever going to have any unity, we're all going to have to admit how wrong we were and come back and let's say what Brother Branham said.
Yes.
It's going to take bigger brothers to say that than want to say, I'm a follower of this message. Then when Brother McHughes was working for the spoken word during 1967, that year they printed 28 sermon books, plus the seals. More sermons were produced that year when Brother McHughes managed the printing than any time before or since. And I've always told him that was his calling. Why? Because he did the job.
Yes.
He got it done. And I want you to know when people got the seal book and began to read, well, then there was a lot of people who says, well, hey, this is not what that brother said. And so there was just that much more fragmentation. And it was what? 3 years ago? 40 years? I felt the challenge. Look, folks, we've had 40 years. That Brother Branham talks about these seven seals revealed over the mountain over here. They brought us to the true word of God, the fullness of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I've looked and I've said, well, something's missing somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's find out why. And I took every quote that Brother Branham said about the seven seals, 61 of them, where he said the seven seals have been revealed. But then I found about 17 where Brother Branham said he didn't show me the seventh. So when he speaks of the teaching of the seven seals, he says they're revealed. But when he gets right down to the seventh, he says God didn't show it to him.
Right.
Then I found, I was shown a place where Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck, published in 79, where they've got Brother Branham saying that the seventh seal was Revelations 10. And they come along, and here's the doctrine, here's the literature they publish. If Brother Branham said the seventh seal was Revelations 10, then let's find out what Revelation 10 said, then we'll know what the seventh seal is. But that's not what he said. In 1981, they corrected that, and it said the seven seals. Not the seventh seal, the seven seals. In the meantime, we've really given them something to preach about. See this book? The Revelation of the Seven Seals. It doesn't say Revelation of Six Seals.
Right.
Well, now, who are they preaching about? And it comes like this. What do we want to listen to hear a man that would live near the mountain? Let's talk. Let's hear the man who went to the mountain.
Yeah,
well, you know what that does? Those people that know, they're talking about me. They're sowing discord. They're holding me in contempt.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're not hurting me, but that spirit, that nature, people get blessed by it.
Yeah.
That's right, brother. Tell him. Tell him, brother. Tell him. And you call that the presence of God? You're willing to accept that as an anointing? You sell the Holy Spirit of God in your life very short.
Amen.
It's more precious to me than that.
Right.
And never get the idea that I think I'm right and everything. But I say that's a wrong spirit.
Amen.
Well, you know that Perry Green down there, he's done this, he's done that. And Brother Bram said that people he won't know it. And the Lord will come and they won't know it. And that's me. And I'm the man who lives near the mountain. But you know what? I said the other day, I'm the last living witness. I'm the only witness of a message believer I know that was there when the photograph was taken. This week I've been shown and reminded of the Lord. I'm the only one that had the association with Billy Graham and Old Roberts the way I have. I'm the only one that knew Jack Moore, Brown, Lindsay, David Duplessis, F.F. Bosworth, Raymond T. Ritchie, Matson Bose. Who else do you know in this message that had the privilege to know all those brothers? Like I did. And then I take it a step further. The reason I'm willing to stand and tell you as a congregation, who did God lead up here and let find Sword Mountain? I was told it couldn't be found. I said, I'll find it if I have to hire a helicopter. Who found the word eagle written on the rock? Who found Dove Cove? Who found the profile over there? I'm not bragging. I'm simply saying, see, I believe that all things are possible.
Yeah. Amen.
And whether people like it or don't like it, I can't deny what happened. And so tonight, in defense of myself, so I won't die just on my own word, I want you to hear what Brother Bram said.
Amen.
Let's start with questions and answers on the seal. And this is right at the beginning. It's 6 pages. And Brother Bram makes a statement. Not very many of these questions pertain to the seals. Most of them are requests that people want interviews or this or the other. And they were more concerned whether you said 700 or 7,000. And they never paid attention. And you know, people, even when they read the questions and answers, they read right through that and, oh yeah, well that's not the, and they skip to the first question and they forget what he said. So let's hear Brother Branham and read it on the screen tonight. What Brother Branham says at the beginning of questions and answers. March the 24th, 1963.
Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful for this time that we can fellowship again around the Word of God in the presence of God. We're so thankful that you're with us this morning to help us and to bless us. We ask forgiveness of our sins, that our lamps might be filled with oil and trimmed and burning. That you would use us now to honor your great name. For we asked it in the name of the beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Be seated. I was just coming in when I heard that message go forth. So it is true that we need to keep our lamps filled. Keep our, you know, as you burn, you can't go on what you have done now, because fire burning out of oil makes a carbon. So that's the reason of trimming of the, have your lamps trimmed, because the carbon on top of the wick. Many of you people about my age, we used to use the coal oil lamp. They get a carbon on top where it burned. and therefore it would interfere with the light, so he must keep all the carbon trimmed off, and that we might press on forward towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Now it's a great, beautiful morning outside and in.
Amen.
As this Easter season is approaching now, and we are now coming up to the last seal tonight, the Lord willing. And it's a very mysterious seal, very, very, because it's not even mentioned in the Scriptures, nowhere, no symbols, anything to hold on to. It's got to come right direct from heaven. And it's a kind of a straining hour for me. It has been all week. This is my eighth day in a room, and I noticed in here many in these requests. I had to kind of pick out. There was many of them that was wanting interviews. I love that. I'd like to give that now. See, but I can't right now because you understand it. What we're trying to do now is find the revelation of the will of the Lord. And see, and then when you have the interview, then it pulls you off over onto another side of something else. See? And like in prayer for the sick, that's altogether different. It's visions and things. You study different and you're anointed different. It's just like as the Bible said there, a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Rivers of water. See? Same water, but there's an outlet comes this way, and this way. Depends on what outlet. It's the same Spirit. Paul, 1 Corinthians 12, did the same thing. Talked about there's many gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So you see, if you're working like with one thing and be changed to come over to this other thing over here, you know what I mean. You study down that line, you get the people, and now their hearts are all set. What is these seals? Their attention. What is it? Night by night, when I come in here, there's such a tension till I have to talk about something else. Just kind of get it quiet, and you see, and then till the Holy Spirit breaks forth the seal, and then and I have to each night like that. Then when you change that to healing or something, see, the people's all set on one thing. You can't hardly change it back to the other right away, and then also knowing that right among you. Things are happening, see? I know you don't see it. I'm just positive you don't see it. See? And you say, Brother Branham, that's a hard thing for you to say that. I know it is. But look, let me just say this now. I suppose this is just tapes for ourselves and so forth. But let me say this, see? That you don't get it, see? And you're not supposed to get it. So don't try to interpret anything, see? Don't try to put your interpretation to it. You only get further away.
Amen.
Just take my advice if you believe me now.
Amen.
If God has given me favor in your sight, and you know that them revelations and things, I've been here with you a long time.
Amen.
And it's always been right. And now to double prove it right, it hooks right in with the Word. See?
Amen.
So you know it's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's exactly. See, it's proved to you. Now take my advice as your brother. Don't put your own interpretation in.
Amen.
You just go on and live a good Christian life.
Amen.
Because you'll only wind yourself away from the real thing when you do it. You'll only wind your way away from the thing. And all of you are conscious and knows that there's something mysterious happening. And it is happening. And I know what it is. Now, I'm not saying that. It's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that's tremendous. And it's gone right now, and there's not a way in the world for you to see it. And it's but so help me with this Bible in my hand. I know what it is. It's been told you before. So just don't try to put any interpretation, but just believe me as your brother. See, we're living in a great hour.
Amen.
We're living in a time where you just be real humble. Be a Christian and try to live for God and live honest with your fellow man.
Amen.
And love those who don't love
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Don't try to make any deceit you do. You only make it a mysterious something and mess the real program of God up.
Amen.
See? Yesterday afternoon, something happened in my room. And I'll never be able to leave it, you see. And so, in about 2 weeks ago something happened. I'll never be able, as long as I live on this earth, I'll never be able to get away from it, see. And the church, you're not supposed to know these things, so don't, but no interpretation of anything, see. You just go ahead and just remember what you're told. Live a Christian life, go to your church, be a real light wherever you are, and just burn for Christ and tell the people that how you love Him, and just let your testimony be with love all the time with the people. See?
Amen.
Well, if you don't, you twist yourself out into something there, and then you're off a beaten track. See, every time you've tried to do it, you've done that. See, so just don't try to make your interpretation, and especially tonight when that seal becomes up in front of you. See, just don't try to interpret it. You just go ahead and just be humble and go right on with the same plain message. Now you say, Brother Branham, is that we being the Church of the Living God, shouldn't we? Well, as I was trying, look here. I want to say, well, why can't I? I ought to have, no. Remember, I'm saying this for your good. See, I'm saying it so that you'll understand. If you believe me, now listen to what I tell you. See? Okay? Now here's a post. And that's, we'll call that a listening post. See? And in it's got radio. See? And there's warnings and things can be done, like a sword in your hand. See? It can pick from the evil or pick from only as it gets its message. See? Now, for instance, to the ordinary man, there's been so much cults and clans rise up over little outpourings of the Spirit until people gets all worked up in a bunch of stuff, go out and start another little move and think. See, you don't want to do that now.
Here it is.
Now, just remember. Just stay the way you are. And you say, well, the Lord shall... No, now just be careful. Look here. Let me show you something. See? Did you know there's 10,000s of voices in this room right now?
Yeah.
Literally voices of people that's coming through the electronic waves of radio.
That's before cell phones.
Why don't you hear them? Their voices. Is that right?
Yeah.
They're waving right through here now. There's people's forms and bodies moving right through this room now.
Right. Hallelujah!
Is that right?
Hey, right.
Well, why don't you see them? They're here.
Right.
Actual voices. Like my voice.
Right.
Well, why don't you hear it?
Amen.
See? It's got to strike something first.
That's right.
To reveal it.
Amen. That's right.
See? Now you understand?
Amen.
I just don't interpret nothing. If God wants you anything, He'll send it to you. See? So just be real, real solid now. Hold still. Something has happened. And now, just... be real. You understand what I mean, don't you?
Amen.
And just be, don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian, because you take yourself away from God. And you if you can understand it, this is that third pull. You should have caught that the other day. So then, just remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was in the other two. And so, that's as far as you should know. And I just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room, and there's something here. There's actually in this room angels.
Amen.
The voice of God.
Amen. Amen.
But how do you can't, if you can't hear the natural voice without something to stand out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice?
Amen.
You might make believe that somebody's singing this certain song that might not even be there. See? But when it actually strikes the crystal that it's supposed to strike, then it gives a true interpretation and vindicates it by showing the picture.
Amen.
See what I mean?
Amen.
Now the Spirit of God, when He speaks through the true Word, it vindicates itself to show itself that it's right. You understand now?
Amen.
All right. Now, let's pray just again. Heavenly Father, we're about to open the lids of this book and as a physical part of trying to give back to what You have opened to us in the spiritual realm. And now I pray, God, that You'll help me to give the right interpretation to these questions, that it might be said that they are there to help the people. They are to give them understanding. And I pray that you'll give to me understanding that I might send it out to your people, that they might have understanding, that together we might live to the glory and honor of God. Through Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, I just want to say that. And I thought this thing here controlled those tapes, but it doesn't, see. And this is a desk light. And I thought the tape control used to be here. But I was told to just make motion to the brethren in the room there, the recording room, and they'd know when to stop tapes and when not. See, the tapes has a worldwide ministry.
This is a prophecy.
Everywhere. It goes in all kind of languages and everything. So there's things that we'd say right here, we wouldn't say somewhere else. You see, that's the reason it would stop it. Now, answering questions is the quite thing. So, in answer to this, most of the questions outside of, now everyone, some of them don't even pertain to the message at all, but I'm going to, or the seals at all, but I'm going to try to answer them. And they's given to me, and I was told of most of them, or a great deal of them, was about requests for prayer and the sick and afflicted and different things like that. It goes on, and so didn't pertain anything to any question to be answered. And then I was given a bunch that was... It was about different things, the scripture and things, but maybe we have time, we'll try to answer them the best we can. Now, and if I make a mistake, well, I remember, it's not intended to be made a mistake. So, does everybody feel good?
Amen.
Is this so? Talk about heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful place.
Amen.
What a wonderful time. Of all the times that I've been behind the pulpit at the tabernacle, I have never, never in any time of my ministry ever worked into the realms of God and the spiritual realms as been this time. Beyond anything I ever did in any time of my ministry, in any meeting at anywhere like this. Mostly it's on healing. This is revealing of truths by the same Spirit. Same Spirit. And I've been to myself altogether, and been boarding at a place or going down eating at a place, and I've just been alone, so it's been really a great time. And now, right away, either in the morning or the following morning, if we can get through in time, I'll just pray for the sick this morning, if these questions don't last too long. So I must get to myself a little while.
Amen.
The human mind can only stand so much. And when you get to a spot where you sit an hour numb with the presence of God and a pillar of light hanging there before you, you can't stay that too long, you see. The human being can't stand it. And so, now, these questions are really nice. I appreciate and the wisdom and things that people use. Now, for the first one, now I'll try to answer them, and then if I don't get it right, well, you forgive me then. And if you have a different interpretation and believe it, your idea of it's right, if you just go right ahead, that won't hurt, because there's not over about one or two of them that pertains anything to salvation. It's only
notice that.
Most of the questions is asked on this other side of the on the rapture of the church. So see, it's questions over here, which is to come and will come to pass over in the other parts, because we're now beyond the church age in our teachings in the book. We're beyond over in the time of the calling of the 144,000.
Okay, hold it right
now,
there.
Now the first one here.
Hold it right there. Did you notice up there? We weren't going to. Can you go back that one paragraph? I thought I stopped it right there. Okay. In the bottom paragraph, because there's not only but about one or two of them that pertains to anything to salvation. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
A lot of people want to ask questions, and Paul talks about, well, it may be expedient, but it may be lawful, but it's not expedient.
Right.
A lot of people separate with you over something when really it's just a matter of opinion. Brother Bram says about one or two of them that pertains to anything to salvation. And most of these questions are asked after the rapture about something going to happen. You know what I tell everybody? Just be ready for the rapture. It doesn't really matter. Do you have to understand the millennium and the marriage supper of the Lamb and the great judgment seat? Do you have to understand that to be a believer? I know some people that make you do that. But understand that which is essential to your salvation. What is that? Have your abstract. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. All right. That was the end of that. Now, I want to go to the seventh seal, which is the next night. And from there, we've got two sections. I'm going to play the end of the seals, and I want to play you the comments that Brother Branham made to it. Now, this one is about 18 pages. So it may take us 30 or 40 minutes to do it. So we'll hear this. Now, can we go to the seventh seal? Okay. I'm going to sit down while he plays this one to you. Okay.
We'll turn now to the eighth verse. Of the first verse, I mean, of the eighth chapter. Revelation 8:1. I know you're tired. And I just try to listen just for a few minutes now. The God of heaven helps my brethren. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things.
We must remember.
Right. The things written in the seventh seal book sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world and every bit ends. It is the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Matthew, the seventh chapter, Revelation's the seventh tenth chapter and one, the seventh verse. Time runs out. The angel said, time will be no more. Well, that in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. The end of at the end of this seventh seal, notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And even in the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes here, and it goes up, then it explodes again. It puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes, blows out five stars from it. See? It fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. And this ends a time for the world. It ends a time for this. It ends a time for that. It ends a time for this. It ends a time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even time for all these things. And the ushering in of the millennium. Notice, the breaking of this seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of a half hour. Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed. Heavens. There wasn't a thing moved for a half hour. Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time. But in the suspense of between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. It was so great. Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. No. He was forbidden to write here. See, it's just a... He didn't write, but this is silence. And the 24 elders that stood before God there harping with their harps, they quit playing their harps. The angels hushed their singing. in heaven. Think the holy cherubims and seraphims that Isaiah saw in the temple with three sets of wings, two over his face and two over his feet and flying. And he day and night there before God singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And even when they walked in or come into the temple, the post of the temple moved with their presence. And these holy seraphims hushed up. Angels quit singing. Flying in the presence of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy." They shut up. No angels singing. No praises, no altar service, no nothing. There was silence, hush, deadly silence in heaven for a half hour. All the host of heaven was silent for this half hour when this seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open. Think of it. But it's broke.
Amen.
The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I mean. They didn't know. There it was. They just stopped. Why? What is it? Now, none of us know. But I'm going to tell you my revelation of it. And I am not prone to be a fanatic. If I am, I'm ignorant of it. I'm not given away to such as lyrious carry-ons and imaginary things. I've said some things might have been kind of strange to some people. But when God comes around behind it and vindicates it and says it's the truth, then that's God's word. It may seem strange that way. And now, as certain as I stand in the platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed, it's in a threefold manner, that I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. And then let's go to there first. Here's the revelation to begin what I want to tell you what it is. What happens is that those seven thunders that he heard thunder and was forbidden to write, that's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders rolling out. Now, why? Let us prove it. Why? It is the secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it. Even not a symbol about it. Why? This is why. There was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now?
Amen.
If it's so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, now notice, when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder. When Israel was gathered, there was a trumpet. When time shall be no more, the last trumpet. One thunder. But here is seven straight thunders right in a row. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. That perfect number. Seven thunders in a row. Uttered not naked, just one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, straight. Then, heavens couldn't write that. Heavens can't know about it. Nothing else, because there's nothing to go on. It's a relaxing time. It was so great till it's kept secret from the angels. Now, why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. Now, he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of a gift.
Amen.
I hope you're learning.
Amen. Amen.
But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word.
Amen. Amen.
It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up.
Amen.
If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up. Quit harping. Everything stopped. Seven, God's perfect number. Seven, just right down the row. Seven thunders uttered straight together. Like you're spelling out something. Notice, at that time, John started writing. He said, don't write it. Jesus never spoke of it. John couldn't write it. Angels know nothing about it.
Amen.
What is it? It's the thing that Jesus said even the angels of heaven didn't know nothing about it, see? He didn't know it himself.
Amen.
Said only God would know it.
Amen.
But he told us when we begin to see these signs coming up. Now you're getting somewhere?
Amen.
All right. Notice, we can see these signs coming up. See? If Satan can get a hold of it, if you want something to happen, now you'll have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. See? He can't get in my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So that's between me and God.
Amen.
See? He don't know nothing about it until you speak it, then he hears it. And I've tried, I tell people I'll do a certain thing, and watch the devil cut off every wheel he can to get there, see, to beat me to it. But if I had to get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then it's different. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He's tried to do it, we notice it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate.
Amen.
There'll be no mimics to this.
Amen.
Because he don't know it.
Amen.
There's no way for him to know it.
Amen.
It's a third pull. He just knows nothing about it.
Amen.
He doesn't understand it.
Amen.
But there's a secret lays beneath that.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
Amen. Glory. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I can never think the same the rest of my life. When I seen, now I don't know what, I know the next step there, but I don't know what, how to interpret that. It won't be long.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I've got row down here when it happened. If you can see here, stop. Go no further than this right here. I'm not prone to be a fanatic. I'm just telling the truth, but you remember the little shoe that I always tried to explain how the soul laid next to so-and-so and the inner conscience and all that kind of stuff, which it only made a big bunch of impersonation start after. How do you have to take up the hand and hold the people and have vibration? Everybody had a vibration in their hands. But you remember when he took me up there and said, this is that third pull and no one will know it.
Amen.
You remember that?
Amen.
Visions never fail.
Amen.
They're perfectly the truth. Now, notice, remember the vision of the consolation? Charlie, I, here you are. Something going on, I told you this week, that you've, it's been all around you, but I wonder if you've noticed it. Remember the consolation of the vision of the angels when I left here to go to Arizona? You remember what time is it, sirs? You remember that?
Yes.
Notice, there was only one great burst of thunder and seven angels appeared. Is that right? One burst of thunder, seven angels appeared. And I saw the Lamb when he had opened the first seal, and I heard as it was the voice of a thunder. And one of the four beasts said, come and see. Notice, one thunder, seven messages that's been sealed up and cannot be revealed until the last day.
Amen.
At this age. See what I mean?
Amen.
Now have you noticed the mysterious part?
Yes.
Of this week? That's what it is.
Amen.
That's what it's been.
Amen.
It's been not a human being, a man. It has been the angels of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Notice, there's witnesses of three sitting in here that a week ago, a little over a week ago, I was up way back into the mountains nearly to Mexico with two brethren and sitting here picking cockabird or sandburst off of my trouser leg. And a blast went off that almost looked like shut the mountains down. Now that's right. I never told my brethren, but they noticed the difference. And he said to me, "Now, be ready, go east." Here's the interpretation of that vision. See? Now to let you know, Brother Sopin has not got the game that he went after. He's trying to get it for him. And he said, "Now tonight, for a sign to you, he isn't going to do it. You must consecrate yourself at this time for the visitation of these angels." And I felt beside myself, you remember. And I was in the west. The angels was coming east. And as they come out, I was picked up with them.
Amen.
You remember that?
Yes.
Coming east. And Brother Fred in here tonight is a witness. And Brother Norman, as we went down, I almost persuaded that man to stay and get his game. Is that right, Brother Solomon? Yeah, there it stands right there. I persuaded, but yet he said, "He won't do it." I never said nothing. Went on. Something set him by the side of the tent the day that you remember, Brother Solomon. Like, as soon as some things was being told, that I put you and Brother Norman, where's Brother Norman? About there. Put them under oath that they wouldn't mention what was taking place. Is that right? Did I turn around and walk away from that tent like that? Is that right? Because this is what it was.
Amen.
Exactly what it was. And knowing that I couldn't say it till it happened to see if the people would understand it. And did you notice that one angel I said in there was a strange angel? And you look more to me than any of the rest of them. Remember that? They were in a constellation, three on the side and one on top. And the one right next to me here, counting from the left to the right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember I said he had his chest out like that and was flying eastward? You remember like that? I said, "It picked me up, lifted me up."
Amen.
You remember that?
Amen.
Here it is.
Amen.
The one with the seventh seal, the thing that I've wanted all my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That mother seals meant a lot to me, of course. But oh, you don't know what this has meant.
Amen.
For one time in life, I prayed, I cried out to God. I at that Phoenix meeting, any of the people there with me know, I laid in the mountains one morning. I got up and went up in Sabina Canyon. It's great, rugged, high mountains. And I went up in there, and there's a little foot trail. If you lead off going up into Lemon Mountain, which is a 30-mile walk, and you're about 30 foot of snow up there. So up in the mountain real early, before day, going up through this little foot trail, rolling rocks along, I felt led to turn this way. And I turned and went up into some great jagged rocks all my hundreds of feet high. And I knelt down between those rocks. I laid down this Bible. I laid down this book, this little tablet. I said, "Lord God, what does this vision mean?" I said, "Lord, does it mean my dying?" You remember I told you I thought it might mean my death? Because something exploded till it just shook me to pieces. You remember? How many knows have heard it? Well, sure.
Amen.
All of it.
Amen.
And I thought it could mean my death. And then in the room, I said, What was it, Lord? What does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to die if it is? All right, I won't tell my family. Just let me go on. See if my work's finished. And I said, "Now, what was it?" But he sent a witness back. You remember me tell you that it wasn't that. It was a furtherment of my work.
Yes. Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
You get it? Yes. See? Yes. And setting up in Sabina Canyon, the Heavenly Father knows this. just as true as you see that come to pass, those angels come right down and have vindicated every message to be the same.
Amen.
Then you know whether it comes from God or not.
Amen.
It was foretold you by a vision. I couldn't tell you until the service is over because I was forbidden to. In Sabinia Canyon, sitting up there that morning, I had my hands up and the wind had blown my old black hat down. When I was standing there with my hands up praying, I said, Lord God, what does this mean? I can't understand it, Lord. What am I to do? If it's my going home time, let me go up here so they never find me. I don't want nobody to be mourning around if I'm going. I want just the family think I just took a walk and they won't find me. Hide me away somewhere. If I'm going to go away, let me go. Maybe Joseph will find my Bible in here someday and let him use it. If I'm going away, let me go, Lord. And I had my hands out and all of a sudden something hit my hand. Now, I don't know. I can't say, did I go to sleep? I don't know. Did I go into a trance? I don't know. Was it a vision? I can't tell you. Only thing I can say is what I, just the same thing like them angels was. And it struck my hand and I looked and it was a sword.
Yes.
And it had pearl handles.
Amen.
Real pretty. And had a guard over it with gold. And the blade looked like something like a chrome, like silver, only real shiny. And it was so feather-edged sharp, oh my. And I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing that's fit my hand? I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things. A sword. And I thought, what will I do with that? And just then a voice shook down to that it rocked the rocks. Said, it's the sword of the king.
Amen.
And then I come out of it. The sword of the king. Now, if it said a sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king, and there's only one the king.
Right.
And that's God.
Amen.
And he has one sword. Amen. That's his word. What a live by. That's so healthy. God sitting over his holy desk here with this holy word laying here. It's the word.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, what a day we're living in. What a great thing. See the mystery and secret, the third sitting there. When this left me, something has come to me and said, don't fear. Now, I didn't hear no voice, like on the inside of me spoke. I have to just tell you the truth, just exactly what happened. Something hit and said, don't fear. This is that third pull. Third pull, you remember?
Yeah.
He said, you've had so many impersonators on this, what you tried to explain. He said, don't even try this. You remember? How many remembers that vision? Why, it's all over. It's taped and everywhere. That's been about 6 years ago. 7 years ago. And 7 years ago. Said, don't try to explain that. Said, this is the third pull, but I'll meet you in there. That right? He said, don't try. I was standing with a little baby's shoe when he told me, Sam, make your first pull. And when you do, the fish will run after the lure. Said, then watch your second pull. Said, because it'll only be small fish. He said, then the third pull will get it. And all them ministers got around me and said, Brother Bram, we know you can do it. Hallelujah, Brother Bram. That's where I always get tied up with a bunch of preachers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love people. They want you to explain everything, this, that. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I understand fishing. Now, I said, now, first thing you do, here's what's done. You see all the fish around, you got to jerk the lure. Well, that's exactly the tactics of fishing. So I said, jerk the lure. Now, I see when I jerk the lure the first time, now the fish takes out after it. But they were little ones. That's just like they were catching. So then I said, Dandy, you're set. And I jerked it out on the bank. I had a fish, but it looked like a skin over the lure. It's just, it was so little. And then I stand there and something said, I told you not to do that. And I started crying. All the line was tangled around me like this. And I had, was standing there crying with my head down like that. I said, God, oh, forgive me. I'm a stupid person, Lord. Don't forgive me. And I had this line, and that what I had in my hand was a little baby shoe about that long. And I had that string was about as big around as my finger, about a half inch length. And the eyelet in this shoe was just about the size of a littler than a 1/16, probably, of an inch of the eyelet. And I was trying to lace this little shoe up with this great big inch cord. A voice comes and says, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. I said, now let him alone. And just then he picked me up. He tucked me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going to look like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. Now look, there's a little box, like a little place over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me, that light that you see there on the picture. It whirled away from me like that and went over to that tent and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabinia, Canada, he said, this is the third pool. And there's three great things that goes with it. And one unfolded today or yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I stand right there and look right straight at it. And this is the third pool coming up.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent.
Amen.
Now, I better stop right here. See? I just feel checked not to say no more about it. See? So just remember, the seventh seal, the reason it was not open, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. And I want you to know before I even note any word about that vision come years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And here it is, just as this other has slides right straight into the word exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that.
Amen.
And here it was. And it's later than we think.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Oh my. This shows us from God. For see, it fits exactly in the promises of God from the end of the message. You notice. Notice now, for the end of time message, the seal. After all, he's revealed all the six seals, but don't say anything about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret. According to the Bible. Before knowing that, and remember, Revelations 10:1-7, 1-7, chapter 10, 1-7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God will be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now, how did I know the other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about, and now I see it.
Amen.
It is in such a humble way.
Yes.
You'd think it's something like that would be revealed to the Vatican, but it comes just like John the Baptist.
Amen.
It comes
Amen.
Like the birth of our Lord in a stable.
The Lord.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Lord, help
Amen.
Me
Amen.
The hours
Amen.
Of heaven.
Amen.
We're here. Oh, my. Now do you see it, the truth of God's vision, the seven angel bringing me from the west. They were coming from the west, coming back east, bringing here for this message tonight. Oh, my. Now, the voice of that great thunder and the mission that was brought here has been revealed that it and proven that it was of God. Just think now. I knew not these seals, and they've been revealed this week. Did anybody think of that? Of those seven angels? Being this being the message that was coming forth, them angels bring me back here for that. See? Remember, the seventh messenger was, the seven messengers was the noted one to me, the seventh angel. It seemed more to me than any. I see that we're standing like this. We just want you to notice. And I was standing here. And I was watching those other, see, one first bunch of little birds, feathers all beat down, you remember them? And they all flew eastward. And the second bunch were brighter, bigger birds, looked like doves, pointed wings. They flew eastward. First bull, second bull. Then the next was angels. And it's, I was standing right there, and this explosion left, and I was looking this way towards the west, and they come and just picked me up in there, and I went plumb out of my knowing. And the one of them coming was the one that looks so strange to me, was the one on my beat the left where I entered the constellation at, but counting from the left to the right, it would have been the seventh angel. See? Coming across. Now, remember, the seven messengers. Do you remember the pyramid of white rock of Junior Jackson's dream that I interpreted to you? Notice, the night that I left, and there were six dreams came, and every one of them directly to the same thing. Then the vision started and sent me west. It's Junior. He was watching. Notice, look how perfect. I'm hoping and trusting that you people realize that I'm trying to put this grace on Jesus Christ, who is the author of all of it, and the only reason you never heard me talk like this before in your life. Amen. But this hour is approaching.
Amen. Amen.
We believe.
Amen.
We believe the prophecy.
Amen. Notice, now to make it sure to you, so you can be driven down. I'm fixing to leave you again. I don't know where I'll go. I must preach the gospel other places. But now that you might say, I've heard all that kind of fanaticism, I don't know what, I can't judge any other man. I only have to answer to God for what I want, for myself. But has there ever been one time I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that wasn't right in all these years? Nobody else can say so because I always told it just the way he told it. Now let me just show you that this is exactly true and confirm it. Now remember, if there be a spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will speak to him in Amen. Visions and make known to him by dreams, interpreting dreams. Is that Joseph, he can interpret dreams and speak and see visions. Is that true?
Amen.
Now notice this, that now when this taking place, Junior was standing in a field that had a big pyramid to it like that, and there was something wrote on the rocks, and I was revealing that to the people. Is that right, Junior? About a year before it happened. And notice the next thing now. I took some kind of a bar and cut it off, and on the inside was white rock that had nothing wrote on it. And at that time, I started to the west. And I told them all, I said, don't go out west, stay here, and look on this till I return. Went west for the blast, returned back to the east with the Holy Spirit, interpreted this unwritten word.
Amen.
Now, if that isn't perfectly a God Almighty, I want you to know what is. What am I trying to say this for, friend? It's to show you we're at the end time.
Amen.
Now, if them others is perfectly on the dot with the word, so is this perfectly on the dot with the word. We are here. We're at the end, friend. Soon it shall be time run out. Millions will lose their lives. Millions will be, now believe that they are saved, will be counted fodder for the atomic age. We are living at the last hour. By the grace of Almighty God, by His help to His people, that they might look forward to the soon appearing of Christ. How long, Brother Branham? Maybe in 20 years. Maybe in 50 years. Maybe in 100 years. I don't know. And maybe in the morning.
Right.
Maybe yet tonight. I don't know. And anybody says they do know, they're wrong.
Amen. Amen.
They don't know.
Right.
God only knows.
Right.
Now, notice, so help me, by God, I tell the truth, that these are spiritually discerned to me.
Amen.
discerned by the Holy Spirit. And by every one of them has identified its place in the Bible. Now, what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal, I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it. Just what it said. But I know that it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times, and it unfolded into something else that I seen. Then when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation, it flew across there, and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right. See, the hour isn't quite yet far.
Amen.
But it's moving into that cycle. See, right. It's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Be prepared, or you don't know what time something can happen.
Amen.
Now, when that gets on tape, which it is, that'll probably send 10,000 of my friends away from me. Because they're going to say that Brother Branham's trying to put himself and make himself a servant or a prophet or something before God. Let me tell you, my brethren, that is an error.
Amen.
I'm only telling you what I've seen and what has been told to me, and you do whatever you want to.
Amen.
I don't know what's going to take place. I do not know. I just know that those seven thunders holds that mystery of the heavens was quiet.
Amen.
Everybody understand?
Amen.
It may be time. It may be the hour now that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may rise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time. If it is, you'll increase, I'll decrease. I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. See, unfold to that much. Now, that is the truth. And I'm sure that you've noticed the things that's been happening this week. I'm sure you noticed that little Collins boy laying there dying the other night. That little leukemia girl. The kingdom of God is coming. And it's becoming more from the negative to the positive as it has been. Now that oughtn't to choke people. From justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then you're here.
Amen.
We're just drawing closer to God all the time.
Amen.
Can't you see, Methodist ministers? Oh, that your message of sanctification was above that which Luther preached? You Pentecostals, can't you see your message of the baptism is beyond that which Methodists preached? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we've had a lot of things go forth, and that's right. And if there's anybody that despises wrong and people saying something that's actually lies and not the truth, I hate that. But I do love the solid truth, no matter how much it interrupts this way or that way.
Amen.
If it's truth, God will finally show it his truth.
Amen.
And if he doesn't do that one of these days soon, then my vision wasn't right. Now, you see where I slay myself. When will it be, Brother Bram? I cannot tell you. I do not know. But one of these days, if we never meet again on this earth, we're going to meet down here at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll find out that in that room, the revelation coming from God, just like all the rest of them has, one of the mystery of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunders that uttered their voices, and there it is perfectly, because nothing knows anything about it. It wasn't even written. So we're at the end time. We are here. I thank God for his word. I thank him for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
For without sending him for the propitiation of our sins, we'll all be in a big muck of sin with no hope. But by his grace, his blood cleanses all sin. It's like the drop of ink in a bucket of Clorox You never find the ink again. When our sins are confessed, it's put in the blood of Jesus Christ, they'll never be known again. God forgets them, they ever was even done. And as long as that sacrifice is laying there in an atonement for us, and that's all, that's it. See? We're not sinners no more. We're Christians by the grace of God. And remember, in our own selves, we'd probably be just as bad as we ever was. But, see, the grace of God has appeared to us. And that's what's made us what we are today, Christian brothers and sisters. This has been a tremendous week for me. I'm tired. My mind is tired. Because I have was the best that I could do. And something strange going on every day. I would be amazed to walk in the room and be there for a few minutes and see something is turning me completely around. And here, I go in there, I pick up the notes. I pick up books of Dr. Smith, Uri Smith, and all the writers and everything, and read down in their books. I say, now here's the sixth seal. Here's the fourth seal. Now, what does this man say? He'd say, well, it was this, that, or that. I look over here and get another man. He said it was such and such. And it looked like it just didn't work right. And I thought, well, what is it, Lord? I walk up and down the floor a while. I kneel down, pray, go back and pick up the Bible, sit down, read, walk back and forth. And then all of a sudden, when I got quiet, here just unfolded like that. Then I grab a pen right quick, go to writing it down like that, whatever I was seeing and doing, watch it like that to God roll down. Then I take the rest of the day, go down and chase this out and see if it tied all the way down through the Scriptures. Then it prove all things. I got this here, and I think now, as many people had visions, as many been revelations, if it's contrary to the Word, leave it alone. That's right, leave it alone. Now, then I run this down like this. Run it down like this, I jot down little things here. I thought, well, the class will be glad to hear this because it ties here. Now, let's see, what does this say here? Yes, here it is right here. See, and bring it back through the Bible and tied the thing down through the week. There it is on tapes. You're welcome to them. And I have did it to the best of my knowledge under Christian fellowship, grace of God to all man by Jesus Christ. I've done the very best that I know how. You've been one of the finest classes. There's been nobody could have said any nicer. You all have come in here at 1 o'clock in the day, up till 5 o'clock to whenever they opened the church and brought let the people come in. You stood in the cold. You stood in the snow. You've done everything, stood around the wall, your legs ache. I'd see the man sit down, let the women sit up in different ones and standing like that, sitting around. And I thought, Lord, it has been a mysterious week. The whole thing's been kind of strange. How would people come, see them stand around the outside, in the windows, in the doors, back around the back, everywhere, listening? And as far as a speaker, I'm far from a speaker. I got that much intelligence to know that I'm not. But I'm not a speaker. But why would people sit and listen like that? Why would they do it? They don't come to hear a person like me. But they're coming because there's something in it drawing a people.
Amen.
See? There's something in it that's drawing them. As my wife stood here at the platform and sang when I started, they come from the east and west. They come from the land afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are.
Amen.
Beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine, blessed partakers of his grace as gems in his crown to shine.
Amen.
May you always bear that in mind, to be a gem in the crown of Jesus Christ. Paul said to the church, you are the jewels, gems of his crown. We want to be the gems of the crown of Jesus Christ. We don't want to never put a man in it. You forget anything about me. I am your brother, a sinner saved by grace, not fit to live. That's exactly the truth. I say that to be humble. That's facts. There's nothing in me, not one sound thing at all. But the grace of God has let my poor dimming eyes look beyond the curtain of time.
Amen.
And see those things on her. And I come back. When I was a little boy, I loved people. I always wanted somebody to love me and talk to me. Nobody would do it because of the name of the family. Nobody talked to me. But when I made my surrender to God, then our people, background being Irish, I thought maybe there's all Catholic. Maybe that would be it. I went there, he is some way, and I went out to First Baptist Church, and he is another way. I said, Lord, there's got to be some way it's true. And something said, it's a word.
Amen.
I've helped that word look at every vision, every word. The day I laid that cornerstone down there, and I put that in there, I wrote on there what he showed me that morning in a vision. Be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but at their own lust shall heap for themselves together as teachers having itching ears, and be turned away from the truth and the fables. And I've seen those two trees that have stood by do that very same thing. That's right. And there we are. And that is true. Now, you won't remember, let me exhort you again. Don't say thank you to anybody at all. Don't say thank you to some minister or something, some mortal man. There's anything good about him, because there's not. I don't care who he is.
Amen.
There's nothing good to any man. That's right. If there's a whole bunch of trumpets laying here, and one of them had to sound out a certain music, it's the man damn trumpets are perfectly mute. It's the fellow that can sound the trumpet that knows what he's going to do that picks up the trumpet. The trumpet has nothing to do with it. The sound comes from an intelligence behind it.
Amen.
That's right. So all trumpets are the same. All men are the same.
Right.
All Christians are the same.
Right.
There's no great man among us. We're not great men, not great women. We're all brothers and sisters.
Amen.
All the same. The same breath. We're no great. One don't make one greater than the other. Not a thing at all to do. No, sir. But we're just all human beings. Don't try to interpret the things. Don't try to do anything more than just live a close life giving praise and honor to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everybody understand that now?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love him with all your heart. Do you do it?
Amen.
I
love you.
And I will. Does everybody thoroughly understand?
Amen.
Does everybody believe?
Amen.
You remember when I first started? Who has believed our report?
Yes.
To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Amen.
Has he revealed to you?
Amen.
His mercy, his goodness.
Amen.
Amen. Just remember, love him with all your heart. I'm going back home now. I'll be back here again, the Lord willing, around the 1st of June. Maybe if the Lord puts it up on my heart, maybe sometime this early summer, like June or somewhere, maybe early fall, if the Lord tarries, I would like to come back and set another 7 nights for the 7 last trumpets. Would you like that? Would you pray for me that God will help me? All right. Until I meet you again, remember this good old song.
I love you.
I I want you to bow your head. I want to pray for you. Before the pastor dismisses, I want to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, may the people, Lord, understand, which I'm sure that there's some that doesn't. But Father, may they know the objective. And may they understand, Father, that it's your grace to them that these things are revealed. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of knowing these things that thou hast revealed to us. And I pray for everyone that's here, everyone that's attended the meetings, that there be some who does not believe. May, Lord, they become believers.
Yes. Amen.
I pray for all that will hear the messages by tape. And if it falls, which it will, no doubt, in the homes and places of many unbelievers, that will differ. But, Father, I pray for each one that before they say any blasphemous word, that they might first sit down and search the Scriptures by what's been said. And then say to you that they truly are sincere and want to know whether this is truth or not. And I pray for them, Father. And I pray for these who stood along these walls, who stood on the outside, who sat in their cars, for little children, and for all that's been in, and just all of them, Lord, I pray for them. And I pray that my prayers will be answered, that you will bless them. First, Lord, give everyone eternal life. I pray that there will not be one of them lost, not one. And now, Father, we don't know when this great event will be, but when we see these signs appearing and scriptural happenings, it warms our heart above measure. And I pray, Father God, that you'll help us. I pray that you'll help our dear pastor, Brother Neville.
Yes,
make him, Lord, full of grace and full of power and with understanding, that he might take this stored food and feed the lambs of God. Lord, I pray that you'll keep sickness away from us. May it come to pass that when people become sick, that they'll remember the present and all-sufficient blood of the Lord Jesus lays on the altar to make an atonement. And I pray that they'll be healed immediately, and I pray that you'll keep the power of Satan away from them to discourage them or to try to make them make cults, or just keep all the powers of the enemy away, Lord. Sanctify us to thy word. Grant it, Lord. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I'm beginning to fade away, Lord. I know my days can't be too many more. And I pray that you'll help me. Let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere, that I might be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down, and I get out to the river, and the waves begin to come in, oh God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and will pack the truth. Grant it, Lord. Until then, help me to be strong and healthy and courageous. Help my church. Bless us together, Lord. We are yours. We feel now that your Spirit is among us. We believe that you will answer our prayers. While we commit ourselves to you with thy word for service for the rest of our days upon this earth. In the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
I've played you about an hour of what Brother Branham preached when he read the text from Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And all but the first 10 minutes of that was not released until 1966. Brother Branham said that he saw people doing this and putting themselves out of cater with this and getting it wrong, putting their own interpretation. So all except the first 10 minutes, he didn't release it, and he went to a motel room and he made comments like this, which was about 12 minutes long. And here's the main things he said. It'll be a good thing that he doesn't know anything about it, because if he did, then we'd even impersonate that. That's his trick to do things. So therefore, God has made it so hid to the world, even to heaven, that there's no way understanding it. Only as God will reveal it himself. Now, did you notice when the Jews ask, you know what, we compared the scripture here with Matthew 24 with the six seals. The seventh seal was left out because, you see, Christ said only God himself knew, not even the angels. No wonder it wasn't even written. You see, they hushed, nothing taking place. Angels don't know it. Nobody knows it when he's coming. But there'll be seven voices of seven thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. If we don't know it and it wasn't known till that time, then it'll be revealed in that day, in the hour that it's supposed to be revealed in. So the thing for us to do is to be reverent before God and serve him and do all we know how to do and live good Christian lives. Here now we find that the sixth seal has been opened to us. We see it, and we know that the seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until that hour arrives. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows. Right along with what he said, no one would know his coming. Here they also would not know about the seven thunder mystery. So you see, they're connected together. Now, we have in the completion here now, by the grace of God, all the mysteries of the six seals that's been sealed up. And we understand and know here that the seventh seal is not to be known to the public. He omitted the revelation of the seventh seal. And here when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also admitted it again. So we see that it's a complete mystery. Therefore, the hour is not yet for this mystery to be known. Therefore, we're this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus Christ appears to earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. Not until that time, let's just all pray and live good, straight Christian lives, looking forward for his coming. And now, if this tape would fall in the hands of some person somewhere, don't try to make any kind of an ism out of it. The only thing you do, you just continue serving God, because this great secret is so great that God wouldn't even let John write it. It thundered out. But he knowing, promising us that it would be open. But so at this time, it is not opened. Now, Brother Branham, by discernment, knew that people were going to take this seal and do what they've done with it. So much so that he withheld this last 45 minutes of this seal. And from 1963 until 66, it wasn't even available for anybody to hear it. Not until 1967 was it published. But he did take that 45 minutes off and put this 12 minutes that I've just read you the excerpts from. And what was his concern? That people are going to take it and make it say the wrong thing. And that's exactly what happened. Now, how are we going to correct this? We're going to admit that all these things that people have said about it, Brother Branham said, we know the sixth, but we don't know the seventh. Now, if you feel like that takes away from your spirituality, then you just go right ahead and you twist yourself up and get away from the purpose that God said. But what did he tell us to do? Live a simple, humble Christian life with a message of things that pertain to salvation, and above all else, love one another. Amen. And if this causes you to disfellowship somebody else, then you've got it wrong somewhere. And no wonder we can't even get people to cooperate and fellowship together, because they've come so strong with that. But folks, as a pastor and as a minister of you people in this church, we are not going to be victims of that. We are going to live a simple, humble Christian life. We're going to believe it like Brother Branham said it here, but yet we're going to try to fellowship and love everybody else and let our light shine and be Christians before God. Amen. Amen, Brother Green. That's good preaching. So you've allowed me to abuse you tonight, so thank you very much for it. as we go tonight. I love him. I love him. We'll stand together and we'll go next door and enjoy Becky's refreshments. Yes, I love him. Because on Calvary's tree. I want you to know I really appreciate the turnout we have tonight for this. I told you today what it was going to be, and you probably heard that before, but I trust you heard something that'll help you keep your balance. And my only instruction is, folks, don't get all tangled up. Don't get all mystified with it. Remember, you got an abstract deed to your salvation. That's the main thing. Hang on to it, and God's just going to let us know when these things come, because, you see, the rapture and the catching away and the coming of the Lord is going to be a secret from those that don't know it's taking place. But don't you let the devil frighten you and intimidate you that you may not know it. You know why? You're one of them.
Amen.
And if you've got that spirit in you, when that magnet goes over, you're going to leave all this trash behind anyway.
Amen.
God bless you. As you go tonight, take the name of Jesus with you and go right over there. And the sisters that's in charge, just get that ready. And let's pray now. Father, we offer you thanks for this nourishment we're going to have. And would you bless it to our bodies tonight? And let us express our love and concern to our sister Rebecca that you have chosen to make a plan in her life to take her somewhere else. And I pray, Lord, that you'll always go and be with her and protect her and guide her and use her for your honor and glory. And may the light of God shine in her life wherever she is. May she be a blessing wherever she works and wherever she goes. May she be a witness to it. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you tonight. Yes, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. You're dismissed. Precious name, oh how sweet. Thank you.